this morning here in John 15, we saw Jesus pointing to the reality of persecution which will come on those who are faithful followers of Christ, faithful followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And beginning in verse 17, Jesus says, and I'm reading from the English Standard Version where it says this, where Jesus says, "These things I command you so that you will love one another. If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours. But all these things they will do to you on account of my name, because they do not know him who sent me." This is a fact of living your life to honor the Lord Jesus Christ. We see it here in the Scriptures. I read to you a few other passages this morning that point to this fact, that those who desire to live for Christ and those who take steps to be obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ and who walk faithfully with the Lord, those people will face persecution for their faith in Christ. You seek to honor God with your life, if you do, God's word reminds you that you will face persecution. Why? Why is that? Why do we face persecution? Well, because the world, and that's talking about unbelievers don't want to live in obedience to God's word. Unbelievers have no desire to honor Jesus Christ with their lives. You might meet some unbelievers who want to be good people, a good person, but it's not their innermost desire to please God with their life. More often than not, they're trying to please people around them by being a good person, and they're trying to win favor with others, and they're trying to make an easier life for themselves. But unbelievers are going to persecute believers because they do not want to live in obedience to God's word. And believers are a reminder of their need for Christ, or their need for obedience to the Creator. In fact, unbelievers are being controlled by the father of lies. The devil is opposing the Lord Jesus Christ and works in the hearts and minds and lives of unbelievers to encourage them along the way in their opposition of those who would honor Christ with their living. So persecution will come, and it will appear in the lives of faithful believers in Jesus, because the world around you wants nothing to do with obeying God. In the world, when they don't want to obey God, they will strike out at those and against those who suggest there is a true God who must be obeyed and should be believed in, and a Savior who should be trusted for their salvation. We hear it also in 2 Timothy 3, and I want to turn there for a few moments tonight. So turn with me to 2 Timothy 3. So this is not an isolated theme to John's gospel. We see this elsewhere. Look at 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12, where we hear these words, "Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted." Now, implied here is the fact that if you desire to live a godly life, you're actually seeking to live a godly life. You may not be perfect, and no one is perfect. We're not sinless. But if we desire to live a godly life and we pursue living a godly life, you will be persecuted. If you live a godly life in Christ, then you will be persecuted. There's no way around this truth other than to not tell anyone you're a believer, and to try to look as much like the world as you can and behave as much like the world as you can. To hide your faith in Christ is the only way to escape persecution as a believer. And that is not what we are called to do. And that is not how we are called to live. That is just the opposite of how God in His Word teaches believers how to live. And we're to live by faith. We're to know the truth of Scripture, with the Scripture guiding our steps, guiding our thinking, guiding our behavior, and we're to live by faith in the Creator of the universe, in the God who gave us His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. By faith in Christ, we're to live. In fact, the world around you needs to live for Christ. They don't know it, but they need to live for Christ. They need Christ to change them, to change their thinking, to move in and take up residence by way of His Spirit, to direct their lives and instruct their thinking with His Word. And in fact, for them to reach this destination of trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, they need you to live for Christ. Unbelievers will oppose believers, but unbelievers need believers to live for Christ, so that they can see a godly testimony and a godly example. They don't know it, but they need your godly testimony, the one that they oppose, the one that they persecute. Even though they will persecute you for your obedience, they need you to obey so that they can see a godly testimony of what it looks like to be a believer in Jesus Christ. So if you're going to live for God's glory, and if persecution is going to come on you because you are living for God's glory, then how are you to handle persecution? How are you to deal with it? How are you to bear up under it? How should you learn to think about being persecuted as a believer in Jesus Christ? How should you respond to it? Right here in 2 Timothy 3, we also learn something about what the faithful believer's response to persecution should be. So in verse 12, Paul reminds Timothy that faithful believers will be persecuted. And then in verse 13, he shows them that there will also be false teachers. So bad news, you're going to be persecuted. More bad news, there's going to be false teachers who make it more difficult. Now look at verse 13. While evil people and imposters will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. Do you see this going on in the world around you? You see it? I do. Like, you can't miss it. Going from bad to worse. They will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. And when I think of these evil people and imposters who go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived, I can't help but think of first thing that jumps to my mind is not necessarily the people you see on TV who are protesting so much, or whatever it is that you see going on that's terrible in our culture. It's a place that calls itself a church that by God's definition is not. It's a place that says to people, oh, that's not what the Bible means. It's okay. You're not sinning. Come join us. We'll make you feel better. And they're not saying it this way, but in effect they're saying, come join us. We'll make you feel better in your sin. We'll make you feel like you're okay. We won't tell you the truth. I can't help but think of that when I read a verse like that. While evil people and imposters, an imposter of the truth, a place that calls itself a church and flies a colorful banner outside that says, come join us. And those are people who are deceiving and being deceived. And the people that they are deceiving need Christ desperately to move in and take up residence, to save them from their sins, to transform their lives, just like you and I needed Christ to move in and take up residence and transform our lives, and He is still doing that transformative work in us. Those people who are being deceived need that. And so we need to learn how to deal with, how to respond to, how to think about being persecuted in a world where we're going to be persecuted if we're faithful to Christ, if we're obedient to God's Word. It's a sad thing when a place that calls itself a church would rather stand with the world instead of standing with God and His Word. And we must be certain that we're willing to stand with the Word come what may. So we cannot deny that we see that in the world around us. People calling evil good and good evil. And the more they do, the more evil they call good, and the more good they call evil. And with this will come persecution on believers. And I believe that the Bible helps us understand this, that as we approach the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's going to get worse instead of better. It's going to get more difficult instead of easier. Because persecution will come on those who stand with God and stand with His Word. But I want you to note, look at how Paul tells Timothy to deal with persecution and false teaching. Look at verses 14 through 17 here in 2 Timothy 3. Verse 14. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. So how are we to think about persecution? How are we to deal with it? How are we to handle it? First, I want you to hear Paul saying here what Paul is pointing to. This is something we need to hear when we're persecuted. It's two words. I'm simplifying it greatly, but I'm just going to give you two words to think about. Keep going. When you're persecuted for your faith in Jesus Christ, keep going. Do not stop trusting in the Lord and obeying His Word. Keep going. Again, verse 14, look at it again. As for you, continue. Continue. Keep going. Continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it. In other words, do not depart from the truth when you see persecution coming for your faith in Jesus Christ. Keep going. Do not change course. Keep going. Be faithful and remain faithful in your walk with Christ. Keep going. Don't be discouraged. I know it's easy to say, it's harder to do and not be discouraged, but don't let those who are persecuting you discourage you from keeping on with Christ. Don't let those who persecute you and teach false things as truth, don't let them hinder you in your walk with Christ. This is difficult. It can feel very personal, but keep going. Don't stop. Be faithful. Remain faithful. This is partly why we hear Jesus warning the disciples in John 15 that they will face persecution. He's warning them. He wants them to be prepared. Why? So that they will keep going. So that they will not be hindered in their walk with Christ. And if you will receive this warning, if you will think about this carefully, you may not be facing persecution at the moment, but if you will take this to heart, if you will receive this warning, and you realize, if I'm faithful to God, I can expect to be persecuted, I want to be prepared for it, then you won't be surprised when it happens. And it won't be such a devastating blow when it happens. You will be equipped to think properly about being persecuted for your faith in Jesus Christ. And you won't be likely to give in to the temptation to quit the church or quit believing or quit walking with Christ or quit reading your Bible. Note also that Paul reminds Timothy here of what he had learned. He's talking about the truths of God's Word that he had learned, that he had been taught. Timothy had been taught the truths of God's Word. And Timothy had learned the truths of God not only from Paul, but also from his own family members. And as he says in verse 15, look at verse 15, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. You know what? When you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, it's because the Holy Spirit has done a work in you and opened your eyes to see and believe and understand, and that is just the beginning of the wisdom that you need for salvation. You're saved when you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and He keeps you. But that's just the beginning of the wisdom that you need to strengthen your faith to walk with Christ. And how from childhood you've been acquainted with the sacred writings which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, and that's ongoing faith, not just a one and done thing. Faith is not just a one time thing. It's an ongoing thing. You keep your eyes on Christ. You keep going when you face persecution. You keep trusting in Jesus. You're not keeping yourself saved. He keeps you saved. But He wants you to keep trusting Him. He wants you to keep having faith in Him. And Timothy had learned the truths of God not only from Paul, but he'd heard it from his family. He'd been encouraged to trust in the truths of God's Word and to trust in Christ. And he had. So for wisdom on how to handle persecution, you need the Word of God. You need your Bible. And you need to read your Bible. Have you ever heard that before?
No.
Never? Mark's being sarcastic because I'm being sarcastic. Of course you've heard that. It's like I say it every time I stand in front of you. Read your Bible. You need the Word of God. You've heard that before, and you're going to hear it again. That's where we're going next, in fact. So the first way to handle persecution when it comes is to keep going. Do not let persecution derail your faith in Christ. Secondly, a second way to respond to persecution when it comes is to cling to the Word of God. Cling to the Word of God. Make it your own. Make it a part of your everyday life. Stay in the truth of God's Word. Do not depart from the truth. Keep believing it. You know, you need to read the Word, yes, but you need to keep believing it. Don't let persecution discourage you from believing the promises of God. Keep teaching it. You need to teach the Word. You teach it in one way by your faith in it, by your example to others. And some of us have opportunities to teach the Word in a classroom setting or as I'm doing right now, by preaching the Word. But you have an opportunity to teach the Word by your godly example of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your trust in God's Word. So did you know that you aren't just to read the Bible for knowledge? Did you know you're not just to read the Bible for knowledge? You know why else you should read the Bible? You need it for wisdom. In fact, we heard it back in verse 15, which are able to make you wise. Remember how from childhood you've been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise. Not so that you can get rich so much, but for the purpose of guiding your thinking and guiding your living so that you don't lose hope and you don't lose faith when you face hardship and difficulty and even persecution for your faith. So you aren't just to read the Bible for knowledge. You are also to read God's Word for wisdom. Look for wisdom for living as you read the Scriptures. Wisdom for how to live. And we see it here. When persecution comes, you need the wisdom of God's Word, guiding the way you respond to persecution, the way you think about it, the way you speak about it. When persecution comes, you need the wisdom of God's Word guiding your response. Because it's possible to have the knowledge of God's Word, lots of head facts, lots of facts about the truth of the Word, and have very little wisdom about how to apply the Bible to your daily living. Because you're not looking for wisdom on how to obey God and how to walk with Christ and how to keep your faith strong and how to keep believing in God's Word. It's possible to have knowledge about the Bible and not have wisdom about how to live in obedience to the truth of God's Word. That's what, we don't want that. We want knowledge of God's Word. I want you to be knowledgeable about the Bible, but I want you to have the wisdom of God's Word. And that's what God wants of you, to grow in wisdom. So remain in the truth of God's Word. It's important for your own courage and strength. It's important for you to be well-equipped, which are able, the sacred writings, Paul says to Timothy, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ. Remain in the truth of God's Word. It's important that you be strengthened with wisdom and understanding from God's Word. And God imparts wisdom. God imparts understanding as you put yourself in the Word and seek to know Him through His Word. And seek to honor Him with your life and humble yourself before Him by saying, I've said it before, when you come to the Scriptures, you need to remind yourself, this is God's Word. God, the Creator of the universe, this is God's Word. I must obey. Come with that attitude, and God will instruct you and do a work in you with the living and active Word of God. There's no better witness either to the truth of God's Word than for the unbeliever to see change taking place in the believer's life who is submitting to God's Word. That's a powerful witness to unbelievers. And there's an even greater witness to the truth of God's Word when the unbeliever witnesses the strength, the contentment, the joy, the strength of faith in a believer's life who's going through persecution for their faith. It's a powerful witness, a powerful testimony for the gospel. So cling to the truth. Stay with the truth. Keep believing. Keep obeying. Keep speaking the truth of God's Word. Because as Paul says, look at verses 16 and 17. As Paul says here, all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, like for obedience, like how to live, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. So the Word of God teaches the heart. The Word of God trains the mind, teaches us how to think biblically, how to think godly thoughts, how to think God's way, and we ought to want to think the way God would have us think. And the Word helps us with that. The Word of God reproves us and corrects us when we need to be corrected. And there are times when we need to be reproved and corrected and trained by the Word of God, because sometimes we're not thinking right. We're thinking like the world, or we're thinking like our own flesh. The Word of God encourages and leads toward righteousness. That's obedience, Christ-likeness. In fact, when all around you seems to be unrighteousness, the word helps you live a righteous life, a Christ-like and godly life. I'm not saying that you're going to be perfect this side of heaven, but you're going to be able to honor God with your life when all around you is trying to get you to do something else. So cling to the Word of God every day. Cling to the Word of God when you are persecuted for your faith, because it's the Word that will thoroughly prepare you and equip you with faith, with wisdom, for doing what's right in the face of opposition. And that is a powerful testimony to the gospel of Jesus Christ. is a powerful encouragement to your brothers and sisters in Christ when they see you responding biblically to persecution for your faith in Christ. Cling to the truth when you're persecuted, because it's the Word of God, and by the power of the Spirit at work in you, that causes you, that gives you the desire, that helps you to live by different principles than those around you who are unbelievers. In fact, those principles you live by, guided by God's Word, are what separates you from the world. It's what makes you obviously different from the world. It's not necessarily how you dress so much as how you behave. More importantly, how you behave and what comes out of your mouth, what you say. The world wants you to live like they do and will lash out at you when you don't. But they desperately need you to live for Christ, living in obedience to the Word, because they need your testimony of what it looks like to be changed by the power of God, because you've trusted in Jesus Christ and you take the Word seriously and the Word is at work in you. Peter, in fact, points to this. 1 Peter 4, listen to verses 3 and 4. And this is pretty remarkable when you put it in the present context in which we live. And this is God's Word. It is timeless. 1 Peter 4, verses 3 and 4. For the time that is past suffices for doing what the Gentiles want to do, living in sensuality, passions, drunkenness, orgies, drinking parties, and lawless idolatry. With respect to this, they are surprised when you do not join them in the same flood of debauchery, and they malign you. In other words, they persecute you. You see, the world, the Scripture is saying this to us. It reminds us of this. It prepares us for what's going on right now in the world that we live in. The world will hate you because you want to live for Christ. And you want to glorify God with your life. And you want to obey God's Word. And you want other people's lives to be transformed by the truth of God's Word. And you're not afraid to tell them about the truth of the Scriptures. And because of that, the world will hate you and malign you and be surprised and shocked that you don't want to participate in their debauchery. But you're to cling to the truth. You're to cling to the Word of God. You're to remain faithful to God. And it's the very Word of God that equips you for this. It's also the Word of God that will equip you to respond with love and grace to those who persecute you. It's where we ended our time this morning thinking about this. You need to be well prepared to respond to those who persecute you, not like they treat you, but how Jesus treats you. With love and grace toward those who persecute you. We noted it this morning that our response toward those who persecute us should be one of prayer for them, prayer for their souls, that they'll be saved, that they'll be transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ, and one of love toward them, loving them because they're another human being made in the image of God, who needs Christ. In Matthew 5 and verse 44, we hear Jesus saying this, "But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." That's how we're to behave when we're persecuted, not lashing out at those who malign us or mistreat us or misrepresent us or just show outward hate toward us because of our faith in Jesus Christ, but we're to love them in return. We're to pray for them in return. We also hear this admonition, Romans 12 and verse 14. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. How do you bless them? You pray for them. You pray for their salvation. You pray for God to come in and shake up their lives and help them to realize that they need a Savior. They need Jesus Christ. So when you're persecuted, because you're faithfully obeying Christ, keep being faithful. Don't stop. Keep going. Keep being faithful. Press on. Cling to the truth of the Word of God. Let it instruct you. Seek to be instructed by the Word. Seek to be encouraged by the word of God, and let your heart be instructed and encouraged, and then pray for those who persecute you, and ask God to give you wisdom about how you can show them the love of Christ that you've experienced yourself in Christ. Pray for their hearts to be changed, that they might be saved, and look for ways to show them the love of Christ. When persecuted, seek to respond as Christ did. We have a very high example before us, don't we, in our Savior. He responded with humility. He responded with mercy and with grace. And to do this, we need God's help, don't we? And so we need to remain in the Word. It's the resource He's given us for wisdom to deal with persecution. He's given us His Spirit. He's made us His own. He's going to keep us His own. But He's given us His Spirit to indwell us and help us to have the wisdom of the Word as we take the Word in and seek to live it out and seek to live life guided by the Word. And we do that so that we're able to respond as Jesus did. And the passage I pointed to again this morning, I want to remind you of it tonight. As Jesus was crucified, what did He pray? He prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Luke 23:34. Father, forgive them. They don't realize who they are crucifying. They don't realize they're crucifying the one who is saving them from their sins if they'll put their trust in Me. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Oh, that God would give us a hard attitude like that when persecution comes. And may we not be afraid of persecution that will come, because He who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. God is greater than all of Satan's schemes and ploys. And we need not fear what man can do to us when we have God on our side.